Excuse me, Micah chapter 3. Got it? Say amen.
Amen.
We're not going to stay in Micah chapter 3.
No.
I do not ordinarily preach on a subject. Tonight I will. And that usually means that we'll hit five or six different texts. But in Micah chapter 3 and verse number 4, it says, "Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they behave themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace. He that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision. It shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine. The sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God." We need to hear from God. As a church, as a country, it is imperative that we turn our attention to Him. He hears from us, doesn't He? But we need to hear from Him. And there will be some that say we have His Word and that's all we need. His Word, by the way, is sufficient. But by the power of His Holy Spirit, He gives us, and define tonight as a spiritual whisper. That's all I need. I need to hear from God, don't you?
Amen.
I need to know the voice of God. I need to know, I'd like to know the direction we're headed. I like to have insight. I like to have assurance. And we, you know, Jesus said you can look at the signs and you make determinations, and you look at the world and you make determinations. God's people need to hear from God. We need to be in tune. We need to be listening. A lot of times, we want Him to hear from us. God, I want this. God, help me with this. God, do this. God, do that. We better hush long enough to hear what He has to say. And listen. It says here, now He's talking about judgment, and He says, I'm done. Here He says it's the preachers causing part of the trouble. Why? Because everything's fine. Everything's fine. That reminds you of any modern day preachers. Everything's fine. Peace. He says, for that, I'm not going to talk to them anymore. He said, they're mad at me because I don't give them I don't give them a message. I don't give them a word. They've got nothing to preach. They hold themselves out as prophets, but He said, I didn't put those words in their mouths. And so for that reason, I'm not going to speak. There'll be no answer from God. Guys, if we ever get in that shape as Christians, each of us and as a church and as a nation, if we ever get to the point where God won't answer, we're in trouble. We need to hear from God. We need to listen to God. Look at chapter 6 and verse number 6, if you will. Chapter 6, verse number 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed the old man what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Because it's not a mystery what God wants from us. Giving more, sacrifice, it's not what connects us with God. What connects us with God is when we do the right thing, when we have compassion toward others, when we love Him, when we walk humbly with Him, when we love others, when we're not judgmental, when we're not condemning. Now look, right's right and wrong's wrong, and we've got to call it as it is. And He's not saying that we shouldn't condemn sin, but we shouldn't condemn people. We need to walk with God. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." How many sheep do we have in the building? Yeah. We serve the Lord, we follow the Lord. And Jesus said, "They hear my voice and they follow me." So if we belong to Him, we're connected with Him. And so we ought to get some insight, some unction, as the Bible calls it, the voice of God within us. Now, I've had people say, "Well, I don't have that clear, distinct voice of God." Again, it is a spiritual whisper. It doesn't have to be loud, and it doesn't have to come out of the clouds. It's a spiritual whisper. Isaiah chapter 30 is our next text, and we're really just trying to reveal and understand exactly what it is we're going to have to do to hear the voice of God, to have the assurance of God. Isaiah 30, verse number 18. "Therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will He be exalted that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him, for the people shall dwell in Zion. At Jerusalem, thou shalt weep no more. He'll be very gracious to the voice of thy cry. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee." He will answer thee. "Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." So the instructors, the seers, the prophets, the preachers, so the lessons won't just pass us, but we'll understand them. We'll hear them. Look at this. Verse 21, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." Anybody ever, don't raise your hand, but anybody ever have trouble knowing what does God want? God, what do you want? Sometimes it seems like He gives you options. He said, "Well, go this way or this way." Isaiah says, "You'll hear the word behind you, and the Lord will say, go this way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it." We need that. If there's ever been a time, we need the voice of God today. We, God's people, must hear it. We have to be tuned in. We have to listen to God's voice. But in order to hear God's voice, there's got to be a voice from God. In order to hear the Word of God, He's got to say something. And He wants to speak to everybody. He's very clear in what He'll say or to whom He'll say it. And He says, if you live like this, their behavior was ill, it said. He said, if you live like that, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to send messengers. Right? Did God speak to Mary when she was going to be conceive a child, the Savior? No, He sent a messenger. He sent messengers. But then sometimes He speaks, right? He met with Abraham and Gideon and Jacob. We can look through the Bible and we see where God met with people. We need to hear from God. Go to Psalm 29 if you want to turn with us. Psalm 29. "Ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory." unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. And then look at this. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. That voice, that penetrating voice. Verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 7. The voice of the Lord hideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovers the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The voice of the Lord, that's we need. That's the power that changes. That's the power that heals. That's the power that brings life and resurrection. That's the power. The voice of God. The clear voice of God. And we need that. There was a prophet in 1 Kings chapter 19, if you want to turn there. Anybody know his name? Yes, Elijah. Good. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah had just been threatened by Jezebel. I never realized, or at least I forgot if I knew it before, how far he went to get away from Jezebel. You see, up in the region of Galilee, Jezreel, remember the vineyard of that Ahab stole, and that vineyard right across there, anyway, that's the general area, Mount Carmel. Remember? Mount Carmel, the floods came. The rain came down, and he said, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And before they could get down the mountain, it was muddy with the rain. Remember that? And they slew the prophets. Baal. Remember that? And then Jezebel said, I'm going to kill that preacher. And here's this great man who talks to heaven, and the fire comes. And he prays, and the rains come down. By the way, he prayed and the rains stopped. Now he prays and the rains come. This powerful man of God, and a woman says, I'm going to kill Elijah, and he ran for his life. He didn't just run. Again, in the northern section of Israel, y'all remember where Mount Sinai is in the Sinai Peninsula? I mean, way down near east, Mount Hor. He went that far to get away from her. Now, why did he do that? Because the queen didn't just say, I'm going to kill him. She hired hitmen, mercenaries, and they were all out to kill him. And so he kept going and kept running and kept hiding, and he kept going. And he in chapter 19 and verse 8, he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of 40 days, 40 nights, to Horeb, the Mount of God. 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, he was intending to get some distance, wasn't he? Travels all the way to Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, the Mount of God, it says. And he came there into a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. I got to thinking about that. You see, this is that mountain in Exodus where Moses went, you know, he was going to go to the mountain. And he told the people, don't touch the mountain. Don't come near the mountain. And they said, we don't want to go to the mountain. You go to the mountain. Because what? Because it was quaking. It was shaking. There was lightning and thunderings. I mean, it was like fire, like a volcano. This was, you know, just an awesome sight. But it was the strength of the voice of God, the power of God, and the people were scared. And they said, Moses, you talk to him. Elijah is on Mount Carmel, way up in the northern section of Israel. And he prayed, rains come in. He prays and the fire falls. But something's missing. Something's missing because the power of God is real in his life. Things are happening. But it's like he's missing the voice of God. There's something, there's a disconnect. Even though everything's working, there's a disconnect. Guys, we cannot afford to lose our connection with God. We can't. That communion with God, not a prayer, but communion where we're talking to God and we're understanding his answer, we're understanding his will and his direction. We need that. He came to the place where God met Moses face to face. Is that what he was looking for? I wonder if that's why he went there. So that he could see God face to face. Because Moses did. Maybe that was the goal. But what does he find as he goes to that mountain? He came there to a cave. Lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. I believe that's why he was there. And God said, "What doest thou here, Elijah? This is not your field. I've got you working way up there." He does a circuit. He preaches in a circuit in different villages and different towns. Now he's gone 40 days. And Elijah says, "You know, I've been so jealous for the Lord God of the hosts and for the children of Israel. They have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." He said, "I'm here because I'm trying to save the world. Because if they get me, there's nobody left. And who will carry out the will of God?" I got news for you. God's got other people. Now look, that's not an excuse for us not to work. But we can get past our pity party. We're not carrying the whole load on our shoulders. Verse 11, God said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by." Hold on a second. I seem to remember Moses saying, "I want to see you." Y'all remember that? And God said, "Okay, you can, but you can only see me when I pass by." Same thing here, right? And as God passed by, he was moving, wasn't he? Because there was a wind that came behind him. The wind came. He said, "The strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Same experience Moses had. Kind of makes you want to go, doesn't it? Verse 12, after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. We need to hear from God. But we need to recognize when he speaks to us. Yes, he speaks to us through his word. And maybe if we go to the right place, we can recognize his power in a hurricane or an earthquake or a tornado or a lightning bolt or thunderings or fire. But if we'll pay attention and do the right thing, we can hear the spiritual whisper of God. That's what we need. We don't need God to... I was praying yesterday, and I said, "Lord, I don't need, you know, anything big. I don't need you to break me. I just need you to show me the way I'm willing to follow. Show me the way, and I'll walk in it. But I need to know the way. I need to know the next step." We don't have to stand where Moses stood to hear from God, but we do have to turn to him and give our attention to him. And he will answer. And he'll direct us. But it may be a very still, small, soft voice. And if we're not careful, we won't hear it. We've got to be listening to God. We've got to be listening for God, because our country needs us. The people out there who don't have Jesus need a church that believes in the gospel and in sharing the gospel and in eternity. And the consequence of entering eternity before making the decision. Because the decision's made. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Him that believeth not is condemned already. We've got to be busy. We've got to show the world, but we've got to stay connected. Look at when he talked about those prophets, those preachers, he said, the problem is they're preaching stuff I did not give them to preach. Preacher preaches stuff that God didn't give them. We don't need them. We go to church to hear from God. And so we need to stay connected through prayer and make sure that we don't alienate ourselves from God through ill behavior. Because that's what he cited. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We do need you. And we have through your word tonight. And you've spoken to us. And yet, God, I pray that each one in this room and each one joining online will have that presence in their lives, your presence, and the sensitivity to your voice, the spiritual whisper that says, go in this way. Walk in it. God, I'm convinced we don't have to travel to Mount Horeb to experience what Moses and Elijah did because we have their examples. But God, we need to hear that voice. We need and we want that. We seek that. We desire that. Give us grace and dismiss us with your blessing. Bring us back safely in Jesus' name.